racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Mr. STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Himself, the one, the only, and my co-host, Jay Randolph Jr. Well, Jay, it seems like this has been the longest season ever on the PGA Tour, but finally, the last final full field event of the 2019 calendar year is finished.
Yes, it is, and you take a look at what happened Sunday, and a birdie was needed to win each of the events to close it out, because you had the playoff situation, and we're going to talk about that. You also had the situation with Rahm over in Dubai making birdie, and then Siyoung Kim on the LPGA Tour making birdie on the 72nd hole. So while golf has slowed across the USA, and it's slowing now a bit, man, it was a busy weekend.
It really was, and the surprises keep coming. Certainly Tyler Duncan coming out of nowhere, 30 years old, wins the RSM Classic. But I must say, and especially give some praise where praise is due. And boy, you were one of the early, I mean early, people to educate me on what John Rahm had the talent of doing. I mean, to consider the fact that he's only 25 years old, he has not won a major, but I would be surprised. I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here, not like some of the turkeys that got their neck out coming into Thanksgiving. And by the way, why don't we do that, you know, Jay, for people listening to this show prior to Thanksgiving? We at the Grow Room, including Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and yours truly, wish each and everyone a very, very happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening to it afterward, go on outside and get rid of some of that turkey, a little jog around the block. But we have a lot to be thankful for, just having the privilege to be able to talk to golf fans like we do, Jay. Pretty incredible. And I know you want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving also.
Well, no doubt. And we're thankful for the game that we get to cover and the people we get to meet and play and the ability to talk about it. You know, it's, you mentioned John Rahm, Bob, and I mean, and you said it, just lacking a major. I mean, is it coming this year? Is it, you know, you have tried to educate the listeners on how tough it is to win majors. Sometimes we throw them around like they're tour events, and they're not. There's only four of them. So, you know, it's a tall order. You got to be right one of those weeks. But boy, John Rahm, I mean, you know, he just, the green jacket's going to fit nice.
Let me ask you something, Jay. I want your opinion on this. Obviously, it is a Ryder Cup year. We'll be going to Cola, Wisconsin, get to see my good buddy Herb Cola once again, somebody that has done so much for the sport of golf. But Ryder Cup just fires the flame a little bit brighter for the Europeans. I mean, is it possible that the four Europeans will win the four majors this year?
I mean, we've got to start to understand a little bit how global this game is. I think it'd be tough for four Europeans because you might have an Australian or a player from Asia, or somebody from Mexico. I mean, it's all changed. One of these young Canadian kids. I mean, it's a unique time in our sport, and we had so much excitement leading up to the Masters last year and the venues. But you start to think, Bob, about the fact that next year you throw in the four majors, you throw in Olympic golf, You throw in the Ryder Cup. Whether you like it or not, there's the FedEx Cup and the race for Dubai. I mean, there's a whole lot going on out there.
Yeah, and thanks for actually correcting me. I didn't mean that. I wasn't even suggesting that Europeans will win all four majors. It was more along the lines that this game has gotten so global and the talent is spread all over the place that it wouldn't be a shocker if we went through a major season without an American getting one of the titles.
I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, it's on the horizon. It's right in front of us. You know, you can make the argument that the majority of the best players in the world that played last week were in Dubai. They weren't in, Sea Island, Georgia. But that's how it works. Norman wanted a world tour. We have kind of a world tour, but it's run by a handful of federations. So, you know, it's a unique time. And the other thing, Bob, you know, this fall series on the PGA Tour was unique. It was longer. It was four more events than before. You had this momentum off the summer and some of the rookies winning. And here come some guys from the Corn Ferry Tour ready to go, just like we see with Tyler Duncan, who had to go to the Corn Ferry Finals and play well there to get his card back. So, I mean, it's a great time, and it's fun to cover. And congratulations to Tyler Duncan.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And to put in highlights, how special this young man John Rahm is. And I remember it was a couple of years ago, we were at Maui, and, you know, the media there is extremely limited. The access to the players is quite readily available. And I took the occasion to kind of spend some time with John Rahm. I know you had been touting him on the Grill Room. And I said to him, I said, John Rahm, I said, I knew Seve Ballesteros pretty well. And I can guarantee you, John Rahm, that he would be very proud of the way you not only play the game, but the way you represent the great country of Spain. And now, John Rahm, Jay, is only the second Spanish player to win the DP World Championship and the race to Dubai. Guess who else did it? Seve Ballesteros. You know, it's
I mean, and Rahm was emotional about that. He knew it. You know, Noah Lothabal or Olathabal or Sergio, that was big for John Rahm. You could tell.
Yeah, absolutely. And back in Seve's day, it was the Order of Merit. It's now called the Race to Dubai. But they're the only two ever to do that. I think the world of John Rahm, certainly it was well documented, having a hot temper. But boy, it's hard to envision a Spanish player without a hot temper. I mean, they go together like ham and egg.
Well, and I think he was so mature in a lot of ways early on, in ways that maybe Sergio wasn't. While he had the temper, he had the ability to let that temper drive him. And I think he's gotten to the point, Bob, where he's, you know, and it can vary from week to week or month to month or depending on the timing or the tour or the shot you hit and all that jazz. But I think he's found a way to channel some of the anger or upset inward and make it drive him. And able to be a little more calmer, and that's what it'll take under the heat if it's a situation at a major where he's in a battle with a couple of guys.
You know, Jay, one other thing about John Rahm, he has the maturity. He took 6 weeks off this year, and it didn't affect his play. He comes back, ends the season by winning there in Dubai. I mean, that is somebody that has complete confidence in his game, to be able to walk away from it for 6 weeks and enjoy time away from the golf course, to me, that only fuels better performances when he's back on the golf course.
I don't think there's any doubt, Bob. You and I have known players that need to get a little action in maybe before they're ready to seize the opportunity. But Rahm has an ability to be ready when the bell goes off. He doesn't have to have a week's prep or get a little feel. And that's a huge quality, especially, you know, and some people knocked him, Bob, that he only played in 13 events. Well, that's all he needed to play. He didn't make the rules. It's an international game. He plays a lot in the U.S. A lot of those guys do now. Don't start crying, you know, Europeans, about the number of events a guy plays if you make the rules 13. He won two of the Rolex Series events to go along with it. So, you know, in a way, for Rahm, you know, he is the European player of the year. We talked about Rory and Koepka, kind of the U.S. PGA or the tour, the biggest events so far that are played. But Rahm's the king of Europe.
You know, Jay, John Rahm really has come a long way. I mean, he left Spain to go to college in Arizona, didn't speak a word of English, and now he's in a solid third in the world ranking behind Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. I mean, that's pretty elite company. And why don't we hear what John Rahm had to say, or get his reaction to being number three. And this is coming to you courtesy of the European Tour.
I had no idea that would take me to number three. Wow. Well, that's unbelievable. I mean, hard to believe. It's been a great year. And again, after taking 6 weeks off, I took a little bit of a risk, but I feel like it was needed. So for everybody out there who thinks that you need to train all the time, rest is just as important. So I'm really looking forward to finish the year strong again at the Bahamas. Hopefully I can play good again and you know, have a great 2020.
Well, Jay, I know one thing. He was wise enough to be able to take 6 weeks off. And I know during our heydays when we were flying high, nobody ever said, you guys better take some time off. We were enjoying it too much.
Well, enjoying it too much. And frankly, the dough and all that stuff, it wasn't to the extremes. And also, you know, I mean, if you're going to, you know, John Rahm takes a rip at it. He don't mess around. He doesn't leave much in the bag. And it's a physical game. So guys do need to wind down. You look at a stretch where Tommy Fleetwood didn't play that well or play that much. And here comes Tommy Fleet to make it a golf tournament and to make it a true race for Dubai. I mean, Bob, what a big final 2 weeks of the year for him. You wonder what that sets in motion for 2020.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tommy Fleetwood. Here's what he had to say about his reaction. And he talks about being second and what's next for him.
Now, of course, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of disappointment there, but for the most part, I wasn't in it, got myself back in it. And I was, I'm very proud of the way I played on that back nine. And, you know, John's moment, he's played unbelievable this year. And, you know, fair play, great birdie down the last. And, yeah, just happy with my week. I'm looking forward to a break first. I'm looking forward to waking up with nothing to do. Kids can go to school, Claire can do a bit of work, I can do nothing. So that's going to be really nice. And then, you know, get back at it sort of when we do get the clubs out again. But I'm just, for now, really excited for a break. These last 2 weeks have definitely painted the season in a brand new light. A lot more satisfaction now than there was before them. And, yeah, just have a break and then get ready to crack on next year.
You know, Jay, anybody thinking that Tommy Fleetwood sounds like an awfully nice guy, well, he's more than that. He's one of the nicest guys out there. So genuine, so talented. He's somebody that I would have to say is definitely going to win a major. But, you know, I keep saying if all these guys are going to win majors, where are they going to come from? As you pointed out just a few minutes ago, Mr. Randolph, there are only 4 a year. And when you got so many guys with the talent to capture one of those magnificent championships, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, but both of us don't mind putting a shackle down on something from now and then. And I think if you really, you know, look at the top two that haven't won a major, and it's no disrespect to Ricky Fowler, it's just where we are. I think you could make the argument that Rahm and Fleetwood are at that point where they're at least two of the top three or four that haven't won a major in terms of where they're at right now in the game.
Yeah, well, the final standings for the race to Dubai, Weisberger finished third, Lowry fourth, winner of the Open Championship, Matt Fitzpatrick, former United States amateur champion, and Rory McIlroy finished sixth. That's a pretty illustrious list. Let's get back now to the RSM Classic. I can't say enough about 30-year-old Tyler Duncan. He wins $1,188,000. And, of course, all the other perks that I don't think we mentioned enough. He'll be in Maui for the Century Tournament of Champions. He'll be in Augusta for the Masters. I mean, he's got a 2-year exemption. Boy, you know, a win on the PGA Tour, even though extremely difficult to ascertain, you are amply rewarded when you do reach that pinnacle.
It really is. It pays off as the ultimate goal. As you started chiming, where you get to go, what you get to do, when your tee times are, what your potential earnings are on your retirement plan. I mean, there's a whole lot of jazz, whole lot of stuff, and it gets better with two and then at five and on, but you know, Tyler Duncan, it that's a life changer, folks. And we'll see how he progresses with it. You know, it was interesting to see my buddy Adam Long play last week, and he didn't need to play. He's made a ton of dough. He was like 23rd on the FedEx Cup standings and had played in Mexico the week before. But he played, and he ended up like 23rd or 22nd on the FedEx Cup standings going into 2020. So, you know, what does this do to Tyler Duncan? How does this affect his golf game? It's going to be interesting to see. It's only his second year on tour. And he's going up against the former U.S. Open champion, Webb Simpson. I mean, you know, that it's not like he's going up against another kid that ain't won or another player that's, you know, in the battle for the first time. He's playing against the U.S. Open champ.
Yeah, good point there, Jay. And somebody I'm going to seek out at Maui is a caddy for Tyler Duncan. His name is Zach Guthrie. He was the assistant coach at Illinois when Duncan was playing for Purdue. And old Zach said, wait a minute, let me look up what assistant coaches in golf get paid. Ooh, a good caddy? Well, maybe I'll try that. And congratulations, Zach. Good move. They'll certainly be at the Century Tournament of Champions. All right, congratulations once again to Zach, as I just said. But, you know, it's funny. After the victory, Tyler Duncan, he explains to us that he really can't even process the win yet.
It hasn't sunk in. It sounds amazing thinking about it, but I don't think it's completely sunk in yet. You know, I can sit here and think about everything that's going to be coming and the Players' Championship and the Masters and just two more seasons exempt on tour. You know, all those things are just unbelievable. And I don't think I could honestly process all of that right now. But just thinking about it's pretty awesome.
You know, Jay, it's almost like a kid on Christmas morning after he opened up all his presents. He has no idea what he has there.
Well, and I'm sure the tour love that he said the tour championship before the Players before the Masters. But, you know, it hasn't set in, because there's one other huge aspect that can be so valuable, that exempt status, and it's fully exempt, and it changes that category for him. And now he can pick and choose his schedule. You know, he can go to his, girlfriend or wife's, grandfather's 85th birthday or something, instead of having to play in Quad Cities. I mean, no offense against the Quad Cities, but that's the type of thing it does to you. And you also have to learn how to deal with that. We got a number of guys that have won their first time in the last year. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, in 5 years, Bob, out of the first-time winners this year, who progressed the best and maybe, unfortunately, who did not.
Yeah, good point there, Jay. We'll see.
But you know what? Having said that, Bob, if you'd have done that in 2014 with Brennan Todd, and you'd have looked at those 5 years, then all of a sudden seen what he'd done the last 3 weeks, you'd have thought, what happened?
Yeah, maybe I spoke too soon, referencing Todd. Anyway, the one aspect of Duncan's game that I think he fully realizes is that the mental toughness it takes to win.
It's definitely something I've been working a lot on the last few months even, and I feel like I've always been pretty tough, but nowhere near where I am now. And I think a lot of the stuff that I've been working on the last few months is starting to pay off, and I'm really happy about it. Training a little harder in the gym, that kind of stuff, just pushing yourself a little bit more, trying to bring yourself into the moment of what's going on. And I think a lot of that's translated, and I think that's a lot of it.
All right, Tyler Duncan. Still sounding a little overwhelmed by that RSM victory. The big question, though, have his goals changed?
I don't think it changes a whole lot. Just honestly figure out what I've been doing leading up to this point and keep doing that, because it's been paying off. So, I don't know how much it'll change, but just keep climbing up the FedEx Cup and make a run there at the end of the season to make it to East Lake would probably be unbelievable. Obviously there's a ton of golf left to do, but to be able to make it to just deep into the FedEx Cup playoffs would be awesome.
Well, I love when players are naive. He's got nothing but good things ahead of him. And he certainly appears to me, Jay, that he's going to appreciate each and everything that comes his way. I mean, that's just another special aspect to this wonderful world of golf.
Yeah, well, we're going to see it with a lot of those guys, as I said. What a jump for him as it relates to that FedEx Cup list. He goes from 151 to 11. It was fantastic stuff for a kid that went to Purdue University, which doesn't necessarily known for its golf prowess, from the Midwest to do this good stuff to finish off what has been a tremendous start to the PGA Tour season, or if you want to look at it the other way, toward the end of the golf year.
Well, let me put a bow on Duncan's performance. One bogey for the week, missed one fairway for the week. I mean, that is impressive.
Time for a short break so that Bob can tell everyone about his fantastic accommodations waiting for him in the grill room with the Bob and Jay team in Maui at the Century Tournament of Champions. And when we come back, we'll see what's next in the world of golf. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa and you'll be connected.
The Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me on Twitter at SDL Golf Geek. You can find my partner, Bob Bubka. Bob Bubka, V-O-G, the V-O-G folks, it's for Voice of Golf. And Voice, the veterans, the PGA Tour champions, the guys trying to get in that elite company. Stage one has concluded. 50 players advancing from the 72-hole tournaments held in three different states. It is a tough, tough deal. Only the top five players earn their cards to be fully exempt. It's elite company if you can get to be part of golf's greatest mulligan.
Well, you're so right about that, Mr. Randolph. Maybe the toughest tour of them all to get on. And then, you know, basically you get 1 year and you better take advantage of it. You got to finish in the top 30. To retain your card. Good luck to all those guys. They all have contributed to this wonderful sport in one way or another, and we wish them the very best from the Grow Room. Let's switch gears down to the Hero World Challenge. Already announced the field, except for two sponsors' exemptions. Pretty elite field, I would say, Jay, for Tiger's annual event.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they come out. It's TW. Rom talked about it, as we heard earlier, after his win in Dubai, looking forward to defending Dustin Johnson, who's kind of been a little quiet the last couple of months. Maybe he's going to be ready to rock and roll, along with Justin Thomas. Tiger, obviously, the tournament host and a recent winner on tour and a President's Cup pick, Tony Finau, Webb Simpson, who played this week, Gary Woodland, who was one of Tiger's pick, Ricky Fowler, Bob, who Tiger made the decision when Brooks Koepka pulled out of the President's Cup. Tiger quickly made the call on Ricky Fowler. What'd you think?
Well, it was certainly no surprise. They're pretty good buddies. I may have picked Kevin Kisner. I may have picked Kevin Na, but, you know, Ricky Fowler, he's good for the game. He's a good guy. I got no bones to make against that pick. Tiger, as I said, pretty friendly with Ricky Fowler over the years. I mean, there's a couple of names that are playing that, you know, it wasn't too long ago. We thought nobody would ever be able to beat him, and that's Xander Schauffele and Bryson DeChambeau, and all of a sudden, we don't hear from him anymore.
Well, I mean, Xander played okay toward the end of the year, but, you know, it's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately type of atmosphere now. It's just the way it is, and these guys will all get down there, and it's a low-key event, but they're still wanna be that champion down there. Have we gotten any real definitive report on Koepka and the severity of the injury?
No, it's a great question. I was just thinking the same thing. It's been awfully quiet out of the Koepka camp, but, you know, that's kind of normal for Brooks Koepka. He keeps to himself, never really seeks a lot of publicity. Basically, the only thing he wants out of golf is major titles. I mean, he's, you know, whittled down his wish list pretty well. I mean, anybody that can, you know, play this game and play it successfully financially, wanting to win major championships, it's never been done before, but certainly Brooks Koepka is on that. Interesting to note, basically the whole President's Cup team, Jay, playing down in the Bahamas, a little bit of an edge for Tiger Woods over Ernie Els, who's going to have his players there. They'll be able to practice in you know, probably with their prospective partners and whatnot. Yep. A lot of strategic maneuvering will be going down while they're still playing the Hero Challenge. So congratulations to Tiger on orchestrating that. Going to be pretty interesting. And boy, before you know it, they'll be down in Australia, Royal Melbourne. For those that have never been there, Jay, it is one of the finest, and I mean finest, golf courses in the entire world.
When we come back, not only will his mouth be open on Thanksgiving for turkey, it's open here. He's ready to roar. He's Alex Macella, and he's going to talk with Bob about the LPGA when we come back on In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KPRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa. You'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
In the Grill Room, we switch now to Alex Macella. You know him as founder and publisher of Morning Greed. Alex, thanks for taking some time out. A couple of light things, I think, to get this conversation started. First, the announcement of an extension to Mike Wann as commissioner of the LPGA Tour. Certainly well-deserved, and what a job he's been doing.
Well, yes, it's well-deserved, and yes, he's done a good job, but at the same time, where we were starting when he came on board was pretty much in the basement. But that being said, you still have to find a way to get yourself out of the basement, and you don't want to find a way to find a sub-basement. So, you know, he has done a very good job, and he deserves an extension. I think most people, if they go all the way back to when he was first signed, would be surprised that he's staying around this long, but obviously he likes what he's doing. He likes where things are going. They're more tied now than ever to a relationship with the PGA Tour. If you listen to what he said last week at the CME group event, they are very, very far down the road in creating some kind of relationship, a very significant relationship with the LET, the Ladies European Tour. So it is a tour that's growing. It's a tour that's generating more revenue, bringing in bigger purses. And once they get this new TV deal done, I think you're going to find the LPGA's in a pretty good spot.
You know, Alex, when I think of what has been accomplished by Michael Wann and the LPGA Tour, I think probably the smartest move he made was instead of waging an all-out battle to get the LPGA Tour more presence here in the United States. He kind of opened the global doors, and it's certainly right now the most global of all the tours that are playing golf.
Well, I think that's one of the things that the PGA Tour found so attractive in creating a relationship with the LPGA, is the fact that they were a global tour, and it's the type of thing that the PGA Tour wants to be at some point, because even though they still have, you know, they play in Latin America, they play in Canada, they play in China, they play in Japan, they play in Korea, they want to be more global. And it's kind of a competition for the PGA Tour and European Tour to see where they're picking their spots. That being said, I think that relationship with the LPGA, they learned a lot from that. And in talking to Juan earlier this year at the U.S. Open, actually, he talked about the fact that they were clearly one of the most diverse tours out there, and purposefully in that way, they wanted to be that. And so they've learned a lot on how to do that. And I think it would be a benefit to the LET if that happens. I think you'll start seeing the overflow of what happens in the LPGA actually assisting and helping the LET at some point. And that would make them, if they bring Europe into the equation and obviously part of Africa, you now see them as clearly the most global tour there is, and maybe them in a sport that is global, but not to the extent that the LPGA will be.
Yeah, it certainly seem to be going in the right direction. Speaking of right direction, good news coming out of Palm Springs. Phil Mickelson going to be the official host of what used to be the Bob Hope Desert Classic. I know there's some movement trying to get the Bob Hope name associated back with the event. It's now going to be the American Express. I don't know if they... you know, that Bob Hope connection is available to the tournament. You may know more about that than I do. Is it a possibility that the Bob Hope name will be brought back in conjunction with that event?
Well, I think it comes down to the people that own the naming rights of Bob Hope, which has to be either any family member, or it's going to be some kind of trust. And, you know, they have to see what the benefit is to them. I mean, quite honestly, back in the day, Hope, this was something back in the day that happened everywhere. I mean, San Diego, the Travelers, which we used to be Travelers, Hartford, obviously the AT&T. I mean, even Frank Sinatra had his name on a tournament for a short period of time, as well as obviously Hope and Crosby and Dean Martin and Danny Thomas in Memphis and Sammy Davis Jr. in Connecticut. I mean, that was the way these things happened. But there was a benefit to back to Hope. Hope loved it. I mean, he was out there. He'd bring friends out. Same thing with at Pebble Beach. You know, it was called the Clam Bake, and this is where Bing Crosby would bring friends. So, I mean, there was a benefit back and forth. There's clearly not much benefit anymore to Hope in his name, but it could actually help any kind of charitable endeavors that the Hope family still has. So there is a positive there, but they'll have to work through that. And the other thing is, Bob, I mean, as much as you and I still call it the Hope, most people that probably attend that today have no idea who Bob Hope was or is, or was, I should say. And so I'm not sure what the real value is to that.
Well, I know there's some value to your upcoming trip. Let's let our listeners salivate a little bit and wish that they were having the trip lined up that Alex Maselli is about to take down to Australia and Tasmania. And I understand going to be able to play a little golf.
Yeah, I mean, I always, I've been down Australia twice. And last time around, I went to Tasmania. And like anyone else, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, not realizing the quality of golf in Tasmania. So I will be going back there. And then there's an island between Tasmania and the mainland of Australia called Kings Island, which has got, again, two tremendous golf courses. So I'm going to see those. And then when I get back on the mainland before the President's Cup, it's been arranged to play four courses in the Sand Belt. So, you know, it wasn't intended to be this much golf, but it's pretty hard when you go all the way down there not to try to enjoy what they have.
Can you just answer one thing? I know absolutely zero about what a Tasmanian devil is. What do you know?
except for what I've seen in cartoons, I do not. But if I get an opportunity, I will see if I can't either get a picture or take a picture and send it back to you, and so that you have an idea of what you're looking at.
Well, now I'm excited about your trip. Alex Buscelli, founder, publisher of Morning Read. Hey, have a great time, my friend. Take it easy. Play some great golf and maybe get another hole in one. Wow, you had one in Hawaii. And probably if you get one in Tasmania, you'd set the world record for the furthest distance between holes in one. That would be incredible. Thanks for your time, Alex.
Thanks, Bobby.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.